because it really helps us to identify what we want to talk about tonight. Because I believe that there's times in our life where we seem to lose our way. You know, we know where we're going, but it's just a matter of how do you get there? You know, Israel came out of Egypt. They had been in slavery for over 400 years. And God said, I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to give you Canaan. They go, all right, great. Let's go to Canaan, promised land, milk and honey. Where is that? How do you get there? It's interesting that God will often tell you where you're going, but leave out the details of how to get there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, that's what happens often. And you see, that's not bad because God wants us to have dependency on Him. On Him. Say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going unless you lead me. And if you don't lead me, I can't go. Moses said that, didn't he? He said, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going either, because I know that I'd be a foolish man to try to attempt this myself. I believe God's put vision in our heart. God's given you a vision. He's given you a goal, something to achieve. But ladies and gentlemen, all the detail has been left out on purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, it was on purpose. Don't get nervous. God left it all out because He wants you to cry out to Him. He wants you to look to Him. He wants you to say, God, what do I do next? It's okay. Look at this definition about direction. You know, this word direction is a powerful definition here. It means this: management or supervision. The point toward which something faces or the line along which something moves. It's a line of development. Now, I know most men don't like to stop and ask for. What's that about us as men? We think we know how to get there, and then hours later, we finally give up and say, all right, I'm going to stop, but you go in and ask them. I'm not going in to ask them. I would make Tina do all that all the time. I'd pull up. I said, well, I'm driving. You just jump out and ask them where we need to go. And then when she'd come back, I said, what'd they say? Well, I turn left here, turn right there. And then we do that, and we still get lost. I said, did you get the right directions? Well, why didn't you go in and get him yourself? I said, I don't know. There's something about having to ask for direction. But Holy Spirit, we're praying now tonight that you would give us direction. Direction not only as a corporate body, but the direction, oh God, as individuals in our pursuit of our assignment on the earth. For God, I know tonight there is powerful vision in each person that's in this room tonight. And God, they have an insatiable desire to pursue it. But God, we pray tonight the Holy Spirit will make real to us exactly what it is we need to do to get there. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You see, having a vision is one thing, but knowing the way to attain it is something else. And I know that many of us have had great vision, and I've had great vision, but I didn't know the how-tos. I didn't know exactly where to cross and where to jump and where to avoid. And I find myself losing time and losing ground because I tried to find the way myself. Everybody say, the way. Did you know there are two ways on the earth? God's way and your way. He said that in Isaiah 55. I think it was around verse 8 or so. He said, my ways are not your ways. So therefore, we can have a way that seems right unto a man. That's what Proverbs says. But the end is what? Destruction. So we've got to be careful. And I think maybe this is why Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. He is the way. So if He's the way, then He is my directions. He is my map. He's my GPS. He's the one that's going to get me to the vision or to the assignment that God has dropped into my spirit. Go with me to Deuteronomy tonight, chapter 32. I want to look at verses 9 and 13 because this typifies my life. This typifies, I think, many of us in this room tonight. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the place of His inheritance. Next verse, please. Keep going right along as I read it. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. Can I just stop there for a minute? You know, God found us all in somewhat of a like condition, didn't he? We were in a wilderness. We really didn't know where we were going. We didn't know how we were living. We were just existing. But God found us, and he encircled us, and he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Go to the next verse. God has a circle, a camp around your life and my life. He has his eye upon us. He knows he needs to move us from point A to point B. And he's not going to leave you in the wilderness. In verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up and carrying them on its wings, it says also the Lord himself does the very same thing. And he led them, and there was no foreign God with him. Now understand something about a bird. Understand something about an eagle when it stirs up its nest. In other words, it makes it uncomfortable so that the young chicks will move out of the nest. And sometime in order to get us out of Egypt, things have got to become a little uncomfortable. Sometimes we'll stay if we keep eating leeks and onions and we keep getting straw. I mean, it's a hard life, but it's a good life. I mean, come on. After all we're doing is making bricks. It's not all that bad. Your daddy made bricks and your granddaddy's made bricks and your granddaddy's daddy made bricks and your sons will make bricks. But then all of a sudden God stirred up the nest. All of a sudden, there wasn't any straw. You had to go get your own straw. And the taskmasters became even more intense. And they became more abusive to the people. And God sometimes takes our neat, little, ordered lives and stirs them. And you know, we think, well, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for my boss, if it wasn't for that preacher, if it wasn't for somebody, my life wouldn't be in turmoil the way it is. But maybe God had to stir up your nest because you would not have moved. You would have not taken flight had it not been for him stirring the comfortable place in your life. So don't get nervous. You see, you and I have a vision and God's going to get us to that end. But sometimes it's as a result of him stirring it up. Look at Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Because the Bible says there that God teaches us to profit and he leads us in the way we ought to go. He said, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and I will lead you by the way you should go. There is a way that you and I need to take and God needs to get us on that way and it is only he that can do it. And that way will lead you to your completed vision. And it's probably not the choice that you would have made on your own. It's probably not the turn that you would have taken. It's probably not the route that you would have map-quested. Because we have our requests into God as to how we want this thing to work out. And God said, you know what? I have another way that'll get you there. Now, it was only 2-week journey to get from Egypt into the Canaan land. But God decided to take him around the mountain a couple of times because God's ways are not man's ways. And God knew that if they would follow this way, they would learn how to do battle. They would learn how to be tough. They would learn how to conquer because what they had waiting them, they didn't realize was already inhabited. In other words, there was a force of resistance waiting on their arrival. You know, I hear a lot of Christians say, well, Pastor, I can hardly wait till I, you know, get in my ministry and write my book, and I can hardly wait until we do this and we do that. It's going to be powerful. I'm excited. You know, I want to be a worship leader, and God, I'm so excited about what God's going to do. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm excited for you. I wonder how you're going to take out Jericho first, though, when you get there. Have you thought about Jericho? No, you haven't thought about it. How about Goliath? Have you thought about them? Have you thought about the Anakim yet? Oh, you haven't thought about them. They're living in the land. They're living in your vision. They're living in the promise. They're living in your assignment. And the way teaches you on the way, when you get there, how to deal with them. Because when they came out of Egypt, all they knew was ho, pull weeds, make bricks, carry labor. They weren't warriors. They weren't battle tested. Don't resist the hardened pathway. because it is God's preparation for you to come into your vision. Heaven may be your destination. If I would ask tonight, how many would like to go to heaven? Everybody's hand would be raised. If I were to go into a large mall and say, how many today want to go to heaven rather than hell? Except for a few jokesters. Most everybody would say, I want to go to heaven. You may want to get there, but I want to ask now the question, how do you get there? Do you know the way to heaven? Because you may have a heart's desire. You may confess it every day. You may say, heaven is my home, but not know the way and never achieve it. So the way, ladies and gentlemen, is very essential in pursuing and completing vision. Look at Psalm 32, please. Verses 8 and 9. I believe, according to the word of God, the way is something you have to learn. It's taught. It's instructed. It's classroom. Here it is. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with mine eye. In other words, God said, listen, you're not going to learn this without spending time as a disciple. This way is elusive to the casual Christian. This way will never be found by the lack of a serious student. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Watch this. Then he says this. Next verse, 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So all of a sudden, God's saying Christians are like jackasses. I didn't write that. It's up here in the Bible. He said they're like mules. They're like stubborn people that have to be put bit and bridle on them to get them to go where you want them to go. God said, I'm tired of trying to drive my people like a mule. I wish they would submit to my teaching, submit to my instruction. And then what did he say? My eye will guide you. That's a powerful scripture. You know what that literally means as far as I can see it? That the word can see. The word of God has eyesight. The word of God knows what's up ahead. The word of God knows what's on your blind side. The word of God can see where we cannot see. And that's why when we are walking with God on the way, it's like flying an airplane by instrument panel only. You can't rely on what you see because all you see is a dense cloud cover. And if you try to fly by what you see, you will not land at your destination safely. And so God sometimes sends in the fog so that we have total and complete reliance on God's seeing the way. Now he's going to instruct us and he's going to teach us. And I want to share with us tonight about this way. I believe that God wants us to become students of the word. Now you've heard that before. You say, Pastor, that's nothing new to me. Yeah, but understand this. The word can see. And when the word sees and you become a student and you become learned of the way, it then guides you like a seeing eye dog. Have you ever seen them in operation? You see anyone with a seeing eye dog blind and they hold on to the dog and the dog's eyes become their eyes. The dog's training becomes their safety. The dog's instruction becomes the guide of their life. They can go out in public, cross streets in New York, Manhattan. They could be anywhere and put complete, total trust and confidence in the seeing eye dog. And God said, I'll keep my eye on you and I will guide you. You put your hand on that word, honey. You put your hand on that word and he will take you through every storm, every traffic snarl, every danger, every crossroad. God himself will see to it that he brings you safely on the other side. Hallelujah. That's a good place to lift your hand up and say, praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want to praise you for that, Lord. That's a good word. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 144 and verse 1. The Bible said that he will train us, or he will teach us. This is what it says. Blessed be the Lord, my God, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He trains. Trains literally means this: organized activity aimed at imparting information. When I was in the military, we went through training exercises constantly. Battle stations, training exercises, what if scenarios, so that if they did occur, we knew how to operate under that condition. I remember, because I was in communications, it wasn't necessarily battle ready, but outside of our communications hall was a 50 caliber machine gun. Now, we were a helicopter carrier. We delivered Marines into combat areas. We carried 3,000 Marines on board, a crew of 500. Helicopters were taking the men off the deck into the combat ready zone. But we had to be trained to operate a teletypewriter, which is years ago, obviously. Teletypewriter, some of you don't even know what that is. But we were the communication ship for the whole 6th Fleet. We were the flagship. The commander, the admiral was on our ship, and we were required that all the communication go through our ship. But while we attended to that, we had training exercises to operate the 50 caliber. And all of us would complain. What are we going to operate that for? We're not going to get, we don't know. What are we? We're communications. You know, we have to keep this communications going. Why would we bother learning how to operate a 50 caliber machine gun? You know, there's sometimes training that God has required of you and me in the house of God, and we don't like it because we don't think we need it. We don't think we'll ever use it, and we don't think it's going to profit us. But God said, I'm going to train your hands. I'm going to train your fingers. I want to get you battle ready. You and I have to understand, no vision will be without resistance. No assignment will be without trouble, without an attack, without an enemy, without some force that defies your entrance into the God assignment. But how many know, if God said you're going there, you're going to get there if you get on the way? See, you and I have to find the way. I like the story of Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat was trained in conventional warfare. And when he was faced with insurmountable odds in Chronicles, I believe it's the 20th chapter, God set aside Jehoshaphat for a minute and said, now everything you know about battle, we're not going to do. I'm changing the strategy, Jehoshaphat. I want you to send Judah first. Now, Jehoshaphat had to really consider what he was hearing, because nobody in history had ever won a battle singing. I'm trained with shields and swords, stratagem to take out the enemy. And God said, that's really good, but you know what? I want to teach you something. And he taught him something that was unconventional. It's a key word in the kingdom today. Unconventional strategies. We're so used to following the patterns of the past that if God calls for a unique application, we resist it because it's unconventional. Well, we got to be open to the voice of God, because he may be telling us to do something with our own children that is totally unconventional. And we have never done before. No psychologist has ever told us to do it. No prayer line has ever spoken it. No prophet has ever declared it. No preacher has ever taught it. And God becomes and says, the way to your child's heart is this way. And you think, God, and nobody won a war with praisers. And it's easy to miss the way. Matter of fact, some of us have missed the way a number of times. And that's why we keep going around the mountain, because we miss the way. That's why Jesus so boldly stood and said, I am the way. I am the truth. and I am the life. You see, the vision was Jehoshaphat's victory. But the direction on how to achieve the victory was the way Jehoshaphat had to follow. There is a battle, there is an assignment that has victory written all over it. Until or unless we resist the way to the victory. And in this hour of the kingdom of God, I believe with all my heart, it's going to be unconventional applications. That requires us to hear the voice of God and to trust the seeing eye dog like never before. Can you imagine what it would be like if we totally blinded your eyesight for the next 7 days and you were utterly and completely reliant upon a dog and a white cane? How would you live? How would you walk through the house? How would you go to work? How would you do the normal things that you and I do every day without thought? It would cause an adjustment in our life. This is the adjustment that's coming to the body of Christ. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing the church into. It is complete and utter and total dependency upon God's seeing the future. That's why the old hymn writer said, "He leadeth me, he leadeth me." Go to James, please, chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Because we have that reliance upon God's word and his ability to see. But we also now to receive these instructions. Here's what the Bible says. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we can look to God for that wisdom. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And I got new revelation to this scripture. It's simply this, that if God says, if I go down to the corner and make a right, and pass the red barn on the left, and you see the Dairy Queen on the right, turn there and go down another mile, you're going to get to your destination. Some of us have more confidence in complete strangers we meet on a street to give us direction how to get somewhere than we do the living God. Do you trust him? Do you think God knows how to get you there? I believe you do. He said, next verse, number 7. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. In other words, until we get to that total and complete reliance and utter dependency upon God's direction and saying, Lord, I'm following your word. I know that if I do your word, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to my desired end. Until we get to that point, we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Is there one more verse? I believe there is. Verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his what? Ooh, don't lose that word. All his what? That's why, because he's not on the way, he has alternate routes to take. His ways. Ways, plural. He tries God's, then he tries his, and then he tries theirs, and then he tries hers, and then he goes back to God's. And God says it's unstable, he's double-minded, he can't receive anything from the Lord. I don't want to be a part of a church that has multiple ways of getting something done. I want to find the way. I want to stay on the way. And I want to close my eyes and say, lead me on, Jesus. I trust in you. James chapter 4 and verse 3 tells us that oftentimes we don't get this direction because we ask amiss. He said, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, your motivation for trying to get direction is for your selfish gain. It's not in alignment with the assignment. So I have to check myself. I've got to be careful I don't use God as a pathway to the land of Oz to achieve the pot of gold at the end of my rainbow. My goal in serving God is not my selfish gain. It is to complete a divine assignment on the earth of which I am an ambassador. You are an ambassador. And God has given us an assignment. We have a citizenship where? In heaven. I don't have a citizenship here. Now that I've been born again, I'm an alien to this planet, and so are you. I operate under the authority of another kingdom. And so therefore, I must be careful that on my assignment, I don't lose my focus and get on another way. And start asking for direction from God so I can build my kingdom and not God's. Watch now, this is what's happened to the church. We have become greedy just like the world. Do you think the greed that's in America and the nations of the earth that have now capsized and caused the whole economic system to begin to fall? Do you think that's as a result of the world? Is it not in the church? That we become so greedy. We become so selfish. We become so self-centered. It's all about me. What do I get out of this? How am I going to be blessed? What do you got for me? Don't ask amiss now. Don't watch your motivation. My motivation for asking the way is my assignment. This is a God-given assignment. And I can't allow myself to get in the middle of it. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I've even learned that I have to die moment by moment. There's times when the old man is dead at 9:53 and at 9:54, he says, I'm back. Maybe not for you, but for me. And I have to continually say, no, you're dead. Otherwise, he tries to take over. He tries to tell me that I can do it on my own. He tries to tell me I don't need other people. I don't need Christians. I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need anything. And he's a fool that would listen. We're looking at how do we receive direction. The Holy Spirit was given as our seeing eye. Dog, if you will. Look at John 16 and verse 13. Jesus was teaching his disciples. He says, however, the Spirit of truth has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. Did you know that Judah being sent first was truth? And Jehoshaphat had to be guided into it in order to do it. God's truth is the way. And you and I have to be guided into it. In order to walk it. The Holy Ghost was given to us specifically to bring us into truth. To guide us into the way. He said he'll not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Oh, I like that part. Because we as God's people are not caught off guard. We're not caught by surprise. Don't tell me that we're sitting up here going, oh my, this world's in chaos. I didn't see this coming. How many know that we know at the end times this is what's going to happen? How many of us know that there will be a one world government, a one world monetary system? None of us have been caught off guard, right? Unless we're on our own way. I can hardly wait till Sunday. I just can't hardly wait. Oh, God, you're so good. Give me a word about faith. And he said, faith is elementary. I'm waiting for my people to walk into trust. Whereas faith breeds confidence, trust breeds commitment. Don't make me preach that message now. So let me get off of it right now. Let me get off of it right now. John 8, verse 26. Jesus spoke from direction that he received from the Father. He said, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Jesus had a direct line of hearing directions from the Father. And in verse 28, he goes on to expound on that. And or 27, he said, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Verse 28, you don't have 28? Yeah, there you go. Then Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Do you think Jesus got up one morning and said, let's go to Galilee? I feel like fish. Do you think one moment he said, I must go on to Jerusalem? I feel like going to Jerusalem and showing out up on a donkey. He was taught by his Father and told where to go. He only went and said and did what he heard. Yeah. That's powerful to me. I said, God, that is a goal of my life. I'm tired of doing what I hear and what I want. Teach me, God, like you taught Jesus. Come on, church. If the Son of the living God, who knew no sin, come on, the divine one, the one that was eternal, that was with the Word and was the Word, come on, if he had to be taught of the Father, how many know we need to be taught? Don't say it to them, but I want to say it to somebody. You don't know everything because they act like it. Some Christians act like they know everything. You see, that's why the anointing is so special and so precious in our lives. That's why tonight when we were singing, always, we were singing that song, always. And we were talking about wanting to be with God always and in His presence. That was a moment for you. That was a moment for me that God orchestrated for us to get in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, in worship, God, He's enthroned. You know, we come into that place of worship, and that's why I have to press in when I worship. I can't be looking at you. I don't care if you're singing or not. I don't care what you do. Do what you want to do. But I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise. And I don't care. I'm off key. Sorry. Move away. If I lift my hand and hit you in the head, sorry. Excuse me. I'll love on you later. But I've got to get in there when the moment's right. Come on. Look at somebody and say, when the moment's right. You know when the moment's right. When the moment's right, you become intimate with the Holy Spirit. And He anoints you. He anoints you. Why do you need the anointing? Now, I have to tell you, I don't always feel the anointing. Grocery shopping, I'm not like singing Shunda Mokita Ramundai. By God, give me some more broccoli. You know, I'm not feeling that. But I do feel the presence of God in just about everything I do. But there are times it's accentuated. There are moments that I feel such love for Tina, but then there's some moments it's accentuated. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? See, in that worship experience, that's why you can't come late for worship. Amen. What's the matter with you? It's like you don't like foreplay. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? We've gotten to the place where all we want to do is commit the act. I know that's crude, but I don't know how else to say it. I'm an uneducated man. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm just trying to help us understand something. You and I have a moment to have God intimately acquainted with us and receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because in that moment, you get direction. Look at this, 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. Watch. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. That's why I've got to get pressed in when the anointing is present. That's why I want to be another anointed teacher. I don't care if they're teaching a Sunday school class. I got to be there because when the anointing is being released, it is teaching me something. It's teaching me direction on my way. That's why preaching under anointed preaching will help you to be taught how to get to where you have been assigned to go. That's why the church is standing still, because we're not under anointed teaching. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to be down on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, look, I can't sing if you're not anointed. Play music, you're good, but you're not anointed. And if you're not anointed, I can't, I don't have time for that. I've got to go. I'm on a journey. I've got some place I need to be. And I need to know how to get there. It's like stopping at the gas station. I need directions. And they say, well, let me tell you about those Cleveland Indians. No, I said, I don't want to talk about the Cleveland Indians. I need to know how I get there. How do I get to Route 14? How do I get there? Well, okay, let's not talk about that. How about, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or how do you like this? I don't want to talk about that. Tell me how to get to Route 14. And then the church, we talk about all kinds of church stuff. We're good at church stuff. You know, church, whatever, church jargon, church stuff. And it doesn't give us any direction on how to get to our assignment. So we're all kind of standing around, loitering outside of the unemployment office, hoping somebody will come up and hire us for the day. Just loitering. But boy, you know, you can tell a person that's anointed and being taught of the Holy Ghost, they're on a mission. They're always moving. They're always focused. I didn't say they're always having a good time and a party and having it easy. It's quite the contrary. Because their hands are being trained for battle. Because God knows that when you get to your assignment, there'll be giants in the land. But see, that's why I trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding. I'm going to preach that Sunday morning message before I know it. You know, you can fail in faith. And you can lose your confidence, because that's what faith is. But you can never be moved if you've got trust. And the church has been out there hanging around faith. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with faith. But Jesus, man, we need to get up another level. We need to go on from faith. And we need to start walking in trust. Trust is commitment. It doesn't matter how things turn out, baby. I'm going to tell you this thing. I'm not backing down. And nothing moving me. I'm here to stay because I trust in the Lord. You don't have to come Sunday now. Yeah, that was it. Sunday's over for you. So 1 John chapter 2 and 27, he will teach you all things. And then I love this part here. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm talking about how to receive direction. How to receive direction. I love receiving direction from the gifts of the Spirit. And praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, I practice 45 minutes to an hour praying in the Holy Spirit every day. I just do that. I don't tell you that to say, well, pin a badge on me. I'm just trying to tell you, that's the only way I know how to get to where I'm going. I don't know how else to get there. I got to get direction. So, well, how does praying in the Holy Spirit give you direction? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially those that you may prophesy. Look at the next verse. Did you ever prophesy to yourself, by the way? Watch this now. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I believe that when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm speaking mysteries to my own mind. Things my mind would never know. But my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, and my spirit is being made known through God. And he's making it revealed to my mind. When I come out of that prayer session, I get answers. I get direction. I know what to do next. Because God says, I'm going to tell you how to get from here to there. And then when you get there, I'll tell you that, how to go from there as well. You know, I don't get long stretches from God. Sometimes I think, God, this is great. I know how to do this now today. Praise God. Then tomorrow, it's like, well, that's all gone. Now I got to get more direction. You ever get that way, or is it just me? I thought maybe God plays with me like that. I think it's all of us, isn't it? I finally figured something out. I was praying in the Spirit. I praying. I got an answer. I got direction. And I was able to deliver. And I went into my staff and I said, this is what we're going to do. And they were like, wow, praise God. That's good. That's God. Amen. Then the next day, it was like the day before, it didn't mean a thing. Because we got that far. It was like taking one step. And in order to get this other foot up off the ground, I needed to do it again. I said, God, come on. And then I went like that. And then I had to do it again. It's like, what is this? What is this, God? Can't you just give me like 10 steps? Do you ever get 10 steps where you do this? Boy, you know you're in revival then. You think you're anointed, man. You sit back and go, whoo, look at Jesus. He is so big in my life. And some of us get these steps. Do you ever play that game where they have baby step, giant step? What is that game? I forget. Mother May I? Yeah. Let's just change it. Father, may I? He said, okay, Lou, take a baby step. I said, God, I'm tired of baby steps. I'm too big to take a baby step. I'm a grown man. But see, you didn't know that if you took a giant step when he told you to take a baby step, you'd have fallen flat on your face, or the ground would not have been able to hold you, or you would have been out of position. Because from our perspective, it looked like you were right where you needed to be. But from God's perspective, you were out of position. God's positioning system, GPS. So we read then these gifts. Back to verse 3. I went too fast. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. See, that's why we've got to rediscover the gift of prophecy. And it's more than just in the church of Sister Yeah Yeah going, but thus says the Lord. All right. got to be more than that. It's got to be more of an interruption of the service. It's got to be where I can prophesy a word or get a word of knowledge in my everyday life. Yeah, let me get some of that water. Jesus, thank you. I mean, Mark, thank you. But you and I, edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. Look at the next verse, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So I've got to pray in tongues. I got to build myself up. I don't know about you, but the system I live in is a constant tear-down system. It's like demolition derby, man. Every day, bam, boom, ah, boom, crash, beating on me all the time. You all live in utopia, but that's where I live. I got to build myself back up in the Holy Spirit. And then you prophesy, you edify the church. We've got to tap back into prophetic exhortation, comfort, and edification in the body of Christ. We've swung so far to the left, it got weird.
People say, well, I just feel like, Lord, thus saith the Lord. You're to give me all your money and your house and your car. Sell it and give it to the ministry and God's going to bless you real big. Well, you know, that's not God. Or you're supposed to go over there and be a missionary or whatever. You never even went on a missions trip in your whole life. And now you're going off to some third world country. You don't even know where it's at on the map. But you heard a prophet tell you. That's goofy too. But we need to get back to the prophetic unctions in the body that is pure and undefiled and without selfish agenda. Because I'm tuned into your assignment. Because your burden became my burden. Your need becomes my need. And suddenly now I'm praying over it as if it was me. And I get a word and I come to you and say, Pastor Troy, I just got to tell you what God is speaking to me in prayer about that thing you shared. That's a prophetic thing that edifies the church. So we have a responsibility. Not only do I have to find my way, but I got to help you find yours. Because it's not all about me. This is about all of us. Verse 5, last verse, 1 Corinthians. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Pray that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, that you prophesy and interpret your own speaking. Pray that. Ask God for that. Say, well, I've never thought of that. Well, it's in the Bible. We ought to think of that. And God will give us a word. He'll give us direction. He'll tell us how to get there. I got to hurry here. Let me finish this up. Proverbs 14:12, I already gave you that. That there's a way that seems right to a man. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. There's a way that seems right to a church. I don't want to go that way. When things look right, that ought to make you nervous. You know, we're looking for this building. We're looking around. And I looked at this one building right there, you know, the one off that by that direct by, and it doesn't have any heating or air conditioning in it. That doesn't seem right to me. But be careful. Don't miss God's way. That could be God's way. Just because it doesn't seem right to you. Because there's a way that always seems right to a man. See what I'm saying? That's where we have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to speak to us. According to Isaiah 55:8, there are two ways in this life. To walk with God means to follow him, not to make him follow you. Now, I have to admit, there have been times in my life as a Christian where I've tried to play God and say, God, you catch up to me. And in his mercy, he's bailed me out. But those days are over. My wife and I have just been talking about that this last couple of months. We say, you know what? We've been utterly undone. And we don't know anything. And we're not about to act like we do. We're following him. You don't move God, I'm not going. I'm not going to make anything happen for reputation. I'm not going to make anything happen for someone else who is expecting it to happen. No, not going to be moved by that. God's going to have to do it. We're waiting on the Lord. Amen? So you see, we must not lead him. We must let him lead us. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. That's a good cue for you to come back. He leadeth me besides still waters. One last scripture is Isaiah 45 in verse 2. Just put your Bibles aside and kind of close your eyes for a moment, please. The Bible says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. And I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of irons. Everything that's been holding you back, everything that's been prohibiting your advance, in Jesus' name. I believe that spirit of the breaker was in here when Pastor Troy came up to pray. The spirit of the breaker to break the bronze gates and cut the bars of iron. I want to just declare that. I want to prophesy that over our church tonight. Every person in this room. That this place is a place where God himself will go before us. Straighten things out. And open up doors. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just worship. For people that are really needing direction from God. It could be concerning a job or a relationship or marriage. It could be concerning your children, what to do and how to treat them, how to respond to what they need. It could be relational with family, friends, co-workers. It really doesn't matter. It could be concerning your assignment. But we want to pray with you. So as Ashley sings that one more time, if you need prayer, just stand up and find one of these up here. Guys, I want you to find a guy. Girls, you come up to one of the ladies, okay? Come on, let's just worship. Thank you, Lord. Come on for prayer. Thank you. slip a hand up and worship? Yeah, come on. Say, thank you, Jesus, for leading me
by His own hand.
Father, right now, tonight, we just pray, God, for every person in this room. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you are the shepherd of our soul. And we thank you for the shepherding, oh God, of our lives. We are not nervous. We're not worried. We're not, oh God, distraught. But we have total and complete confidence tonight in your ability to speak to us, God, and to take us where you want us to go. Just reach a hand towards these that are being prayed for now. Father, we bless them. We say, Lord Jesus, give them that direction. Show them the way. Show them the way. Show them the way, God. Give it clearly to them, the picture, oh Father, of where they should go. And Lord Jesus, we know tonight with your faithfulness and your word that you will take them exactly to that destination, God. Protect them and cover them and give them, oh Lord God, hope. Give them to Lord tonight hope, expectation of good. And we'll give you thanks and praise, God, because you're leading us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. As they continue to be prayed for, and if you need prayer, we certainly want you to come and believe God for you in your life. We want to remind you about Sunday. Don't forget, 12 o'clock. Come early for prayer, 11:30. Just get in the atmosphere of expectancy. Be a worshiper. Bless the Lord with all your heart. And let's receive from the Lord His word and be strengthened in our spirits. Amen? And recognize this, that God's for you. He really is. And He's got a tremendous plan for our lives. And I know sometimes it doesn't look like it. But you just don't get weary in well-doing. You hold on, because in due season, you're going to reap. So we're not going to let you faint. We've got to hold each other up once in a while. Everybody needs that. It's okay. But just don't quit. Don't walk away. Let God be God, and He will show Himself strong. You live right. You love everybody. And you pray hard. We'll see you next time right here. Well, not right here, but Embassy, Church on the North Coast. God bless you. We love you.